Hello and welcome back to the Dive and Dig News Podcast. My name's Lucy Blue and today I'm talking to Claire Somaglino, the director of a remarkable port site on the Gulf of Suez, Red Sea in Egypt. Claire has been working at the site of Ain Sukhna for over 20 years, excavating this pharaonic harbour that was close to the mining areas of copper and turquoise in the southern Sinai. The site was occupied from the 4th dynasty, that's over 4,500 years ago, through the Middle Kingdom around 2000 BC to the end of its occupation around 3,500 years ago. Here is Claire to tell us more about this amazing port site. Claire, thank you so much for coming and talking to us on the Dive and Dig News Podcast. Yes, the news item is a tricky one sometimes, but I think the news for you is that you have finally decided to not continue working at this wonderful site in Ain Sukhna. Is that the news that we're hearing?
Hello, Lucy. Thank you for having me on the podcast. Yes, it's now the end of the French-Egyptian mission in Ain Sukhna. We are excavating the site since 2001, so it's been a long time now, and we are seeing the end of our work on the site.
Wow, it's over 20 years you've been working there. Obviously, with a COVID hiatus, but that's incredible. I hadn't realised, actually. That's true archaeological dedication, I would say. But it is an amazing site. I haven't had the privilege of visiting, but I do read your reports and your publications, and so it really is an incredible site. Let's tell our listeners where the site is. Could you just describe where it is and what drew you to working there in the first place?
The site is on the northern reach of the Red Sea. It's about 50 kilometers south of Suez, on the Egyptian Red Sea coast. And what brings us to the site? One of our Egyptian colleagues, Mahmoud Abdelrazik, discovered the site at the end of the 90s because of lots of rock inscriptions on the site. And so he built a team with my colleagues, Georges Castel and Pierre Tallet, and the three of them were the previous director of the mission. And so they began with studying the rock inscriptions, and they soon made a survey and discovered that there was a site there and not just rock inscriptions. So they began the excavation in 2001.
So these rock inscriptions, are they presumably they're prehistoric or are they... What do we have any idea what date they reign?
Yes, we have a very good idea because there are dates on the on the rock inscription, so it's very convenient to date the site. And there were rock inscription for all the main period of use of the site, so from the Old Kingdom to the Greco-Roman period, and Coptic inscriptions and Arabic inscriptions, and even inscriptions from the British pilots on the canal in the 1950s. So we have sort of a resume of the history of the site, but the main inscriptions are from the Middle Kingdom, Old Kingdom, Middle Kingdom, and New Kingdom.
Wow. So this is the main period of chronology of the site is from the pharaonic era then, and that's so when it came to Pierre and now obviously more subsequently you and the team excavating, what sort of areas did you decide to target? What were your primary goals or research questions? What were the questions that you had? What did the site reveal to you? What was of interest?
So we have all the main features for a classic pharaonic harbour on the Red Sea, with the storage galleries and a camp. What's the originality of Ain Sukhna is copper workshops, because there is not that amount of copper workshop on the other side. There is a brief phase of the history of the site in the early Middle Kingdom, when the site was used as a point for transforming copper ore and make the reduction of the ore. And so we have now, at the end of the last mission, we had 116 redox furnaces found on the site. So it is a huge amount of furnaces.
100, that's an amazing number. And as you say, I mean, this is from my ignorance, but, you know, I don't know of any other sites that are producing copper, let alone on that scale. That's incredible. So do you think that was, okay, so it was a port site. And I mean, I'm familiar with the idea of storage in these galleries, but predominantly, as I understand it, the storage, or maybe I'm just biased because I'm primarily interested in things maritime, but the storage relates to the deconstructed boat parts and rigging and sailing and this sort of thing. So they're essentially putting their boats in the boat shed, I guess, for storage while they're not physically active in terms of maritime activities. Is that the same case with Einsuchner?
Yes, it's exactly the case. And in fact, we found the vestiges of two charred boats in two of the 10 galleries. And we actually found the remains of stacks of planks in the galleries because there was a fire at some point, maybe during the Middle Kingdom. As with pottery, we can determine that the charred boats are from the early Middle Kingdom. And so there was a fire at some point. We don't know exactly why. And the roof of the galleries collapsed due to the heat on the fire, and the fire stops, and so we have the remains of those kind of huge charcoals, but with the frame of the planks, and we can see how the planks were linked together. So there is a lot of indication about boat construction for the early Middle Kingdom for seagoing vessels.
So what evidence do you have for the actual harbour? I know I mean, we've spoken with Pierre Tallet before, the director of Wadi Al Jaf, and he's got this wonderful jetty, but I don't believe how did they shelter their boats in Einsuchner?
As the configuration of the site in Einsuchner is quite different from Wadi Al Jaf, as the coast is very different. So first things first, I have to say that we cannot excavate the beach because when we began the excavation of the site, there was already a hotel built there. So if there was something, and I think there was something, that destroyed the vestiges there and the road too. So in fact, the site is just cut for 100 meters from the coast, so it's a bit of a pity.
Yes, that is a real pity,
so
isn't it?
But I think there never was a jetty, for instance, in Einsuchner. When you bath there, you can see that it's very deep very quickly. So you walk for 5-10 meters, and then it's very deep. So I think you cannot build a jetty. I think they just beached the boat directly on the beach. So it was a cove more sheltered than in Wadi Al Jaf. It's less windy.
What have you learned about the copper industry and its distribution from Einsuchner?
Obviously, one of the main objectives of those expeditions since the Old Kingdom was to go to South Sinai to retrieve copper and turquoise. And some, from time to time, they went to the land of Poons too, but that's another story. And but the main goal was South Sinai for the copper, because they needed the copper very much for making tools and other kind of things. But the main thing was for tools for the great construction projects in the valley. And God, they had lots of construction projects at those times. So they needed the copper. During the Old Kingdom, we don't have so much remains of copper workshop. We have a few crucibles and remains, but not so many of them. But for the early Middle Kingdom, it's like huge, because they change, obviously, the system. During a very short period, they decided to do the reduction process in Einsuchner. So maybe because there was fuel for a period with trees near the spring or in the wadis. So they decided to do that. The main operation they made there is the reduction of the copper ore. Not so much smelting and doing tools, a bit because they needed it for the expedition, but mostly they were retrieving copper prills from the copper ore, and they export the prills in the valley, so they can do many tools in the valley with that. And so we have a wonderful team of metallurgists, archaeometallurgists, working with that.
That's really fascinating, and of course that makes. And also, when you said about the timber, of course you need fuel, and currently in the environment along the Red Sea coast, there's not a tree in sight generally. So it's just amazing, isn't it, when you think about it's all about resources and how the climate impacts on how those environments change. And so we have to reimagine so many different levels of you know, parts of the puzzle, I guess, in the equation. It's really fascinating. So you mentioned, sorry, I'm going to have to go back to my favourite subject. You mentioned that there were boat parts in the galleries, but I also remember reading something about a boat pit. Is that the same area, or is this a different thing? I know that they used to have these huge boat pits next to the pyramids. Obviously, in further, but is that the same sort of thing, or?
Yes, it is the same sort of thing. We retrieved a boat pit in the lower area of the site, because there is sort of two parts on the site: a upper area with rock inscriptions and the storage galleries, and the lower area closer to the sea with the camp and workshops and things like that. And there was this huge pit in the bedrock. It's 17 meters long. And we know from the study Patrice made of the charred boats that it was about 13, 14 meters for those seagoing ships. So it's very similar to one kind of boat pit you can see near the pyramids. Not the rectangular ones, but the other ones, the crescent-shaped one. So our hypothesis is that it's was used at some point to, you know, we don't know exactly, but to maybe rebuild, maybe make reparations on the boat. We it's the first time we have them not on a funerary context, so you know, lots of questions about how they were used, really.
No, that's really interesting. I need to do some. It's fascinating. So, what do you think they? So, if they were coming from the valley, and essentially the main idea was to produce copper, or the, you call them prills, is that right?
Yeah, some
little nuggets, basically. Yeah, exactly. Nuggets. Yeah. So, what did they need all these boats for? I mean, you hinted at this land of punt that, as you said, that's another story. But I mean, this so-called, it's mythical, really, in some ways, because we haven't identified it. But even then, wherever punt is, or whenever they went there, do you see these two operations as separate? It sounds to me like the main thing is that this area has the resource of copper, and that's what they need it for in the valley. So what do you think they were doing with these large numbers of ships and going off down the Red Sea? What was the purpose of that?
We don't know how many ships there were at each expedition. That's one thing. Our idea is that they were coming from the valley on foot with donkeys, and it's a few days from Memphis area to Ain Sohna. And then maybe the bulk of the expedition were going by feet around the Suez Gulf to the mining area. And they needed the ships to transport, you know, food, heavy materials. The idea too is that the expedition took maybe a few months, and they needed food during the expedition. So there was constant coming back from the valley to Ein Sorna, from Ein Sorna to the South Sinai on boat, we imagine. So it's a very short navigation. And they came back with the copper ore. And, you know, there is sort of chain of operation, very efficient. So that's why the boat were needed, we think.
It's really a remarkable site, and we're learning so much from such an early period about, as you say, how incredibly organised the Middle Kingdom in particular, I think, as you're suggesting, were in terms of, you know, this production chains almost, aren't they, of people and bringing goods back. But what do you think, from your perspective, is the most remarkable understanding you have, or what was the sort of point at which when you sort of went, wow, that is really incredible? Do you have any of those wow moments that you would like to share, or do you think it's just overall hugely exciting?
It's usually exciting. I have a lot of wow moments. No, the thing is, now we are at the end of the excavation, you know, it's like seeing all the pieces go together. And so we know now what the purpose of the site was, how it evolved, and our main goal in the last few years was to understand the logistics, how it was organized at the different periods, and the day-to-day lives of the guys being part of the expedition. And that's very nice to be able to see more deeply their activities. And we excavated almost all the settlements. It's very rare to have you know, the occasion to do that. And so we are now very familiar with the material. We have, of course, still lots of questions, but at some point you can feel the gestures of the workers in antiquity. You can, you know, be very close to them, in fact. I know it's an impression because we are close from a very little part of what they are doing and thinking, but and to be able to reconstruct all the techniques and all the issues with the technique history. One of our colleagues at Lynn Batts reconstituted how they baked bread in conical bread molds at the beginning of the Middle Kingdom. Georges Verly, Frédéric Rademakers are doing the archaeometallurgy, you know, trying to understand all the steps of transforming copper ore, and so they can reconstruct gestures in the workshops. So we have different specialists and specialties, and we can now really feel what they were doing on the site, and that's very precious.
I can't wait to read the publications and really see all of those, the dynamics of these people, and obviously how important they were to underpinning, you know, the great and the good in the Nile Valley as well, because presumably none of those big building construction projects could have happened without these individuals. And it was a tough life, I think, living on the Red Sea. It still is, actually. Good luck. I really wish you the best. And as I say, I'm very much looking forward to reading all of the results of this work. And thank you so much for talking to us. I really do appreciate it, and revealing this little insight into the wonderful site of Ein Suckner. Thank you. Many thanks, Claire, for that remarkable insight into the incredible port of Ein Suckner. I can't wait to go and visit. And best of luck with the writing up. You've been listening to the Dive and Dig podcast, brought to you by the Honor Frost Foundation, a charity that supports maritime archaeology in the Eastern Mediterranean. I hope you've enjoyed this episode, and I hope you'll tune in again soon. Take care. Bye.